Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian, the people are mad at me.
Yeah, they are.
So, I was telling you Twitter was mad at me. You're telling me the YouTube chat is mad at me.
That is correct. They're not happy.
So, give me a... So, just so we know, every NFL team right now is sitting in their facility, and they are having the draft meetings. Like, now is when we hear the discussion of, you know, now is when you stand on the table for somebody. Now is the moment that the table is being stood on. Like, that's now. So if there's a guy, like, say there's an area scout of the Titans that has the area that has Alabama in it, and this guy just thinks Dallas Turner is the next Lawrence Taylor, this is the time for him to stand on the table and for him to make his case that we've got to take Dallas Turner. So every scenario is being discussed because there are how many combinations before you pick at seven? A gazillion? And that's what they're doing. So the Titans, I am running through the scenario that if Drake May is available with the seventh pick, that the Tennessee Titans then take Drake May. An A-plus quarterback prospect. Rick Spielman had his tears yesterday on his CBS podcast, the old general manager of the Vikings. You know, the guy that drafted Christian Darrisaw with his last first-round pick and Justin Jefferson in the first round the year before that. Tier 1 prospects, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. Tier 2, Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, Dallas Turner, Olu Fashanu. Whatever happened to, don't draft for need, roll the dice, play the board. He's telling you, Drake May is in a different tier than Joe Alt. And I remember everything that Spielman said last year. I can promise you he would tell you that May is in a different tier than Levis. And Levis had an okay rookie season. But I'm not losing my panties over what Will Levis did last year, going 3-6, completion percentage under 60, quarterback rating of 84.2, threw for 200 yards a game. I mean, again, he had a great first game, and he had a great comeback against Miami. That's it. Like, that's what he was. And so I see an A-plus quarterback prospect, and I say if you get the opportunity at the A-plus quarterback prospect, you take him. And people are really mad about that. Robbie Stanley texted me, and he said, you know, Robbie hated Mariota. And he said the people whining about drafting Drake May are the same people that say the Titans could have had Mahomes but kept Mariota. He is so right about that. Although I was a Mariota person at the time, and this is a mistake I think I learned from. So I promised more of your phones. Although, Ian, what is the line of the YouTube chat? You know, what's kind of the gist over there?
Just kind of, we have our guy in Levis. This Drake isn't going to fall. Why are we talking about this scenario? This isn't going to happen. We have to get a tackle. What are we going to do there? How do we know that Drake May is the guy if we don't know if Levis is the guy? Just that kind of stuff.
You know, you needed a tackle last year when you drafted Levis, right? Like, the idea was, you know, we have to have a tackle. You had to have a tackle last year, and you didn't draft one. Get Andre Dillard. You'd be fine. So here's the scenario, because I'm sure a lot of people are like, if that's not going to happen, Jared, Drake May is not going to fall to the Titans. And I think you're right. But I also didn't think Will Levis would be available in the second round last year. So this is how Drake May falls to the Titans. Caleb Williams goes 1, Jaden Daniels goes 2. I think May's going to go number 2, but for argument's sake, you know, again, I think a lot of people think Daniels will go 2. J.J. McCarthy goes 3. And a lot of people are like, well, J.J. McCarthy's not going to go 3. Charles Robinson Friday on Robbie and Rex Road about J.J. McCarthy.
I started to reach out to different personnel individuals as we did our all-juice team. Came across somebody who said, well, a couple of different individuals. One who said, look, the number 2 pick in the draft, the Washington Commanders, he's definitely in play potentially at that pick. Like, there's no doubt that there are people in that personnel department that like him enough, like his film enough, to take him at number 2. And then number 3, the Patriots, had another individual who said, you know, hey, look around the quarterback workouts. their QB stack. Now it's early still. We're still talking about early April, but their QB stack could have McCarthy at the very top, like not as the third quarterback off the board, not as the second quarterback off the board, but the Patriots may actually like him as the first quarterback coming off the board.
Okay. So the Patriots may like JJ the best. JJ goes third. You know, Ryan Leaf was on with me on Sirius over the weekend, and he said that Arizona and the Chargers probably aren't trading that much because, again, you leave 4 and 5, you lose Harrison and Adunze. Harrison and Neighbors, and those seem, again, Rick Spielman has them in Tier 1. Those are the elite of the elites. So Arizona, it doesn't feel like they're going quarterback, though. I would go quarterback if I was Arizona and Drake May was on the board because I think Kyler Murray's a bum. But Arizona goes Marvin. Chargers go with Malik Neighbors. And then the Giants do something crazy. Because, I mean, if the Giants don't take May, then wow. But while it's not likely, all of these things are possible. I mean, we've seen guys fall in the draft and think to ourselves, like, man, that guy, how is that guy still available? Mel Kiper's got him ranked number 21. Or no, Mel Kiper's got him ranked number 8, and he's still there at 21? How is that possible? And again, that's the nature of the draft. And so in a lot of scenarios I wanted to go over today, this is kind of the first one because people got so worked up about it yesterday when I was like, look, I would take May and then figure it out. And people are, no, Levis, he's so good. Oh, he's so good. One texter says, I want to roll with Levis because I'm the same guy who knew Phillip Rivers was a Hall of Famer back when he got drafted. That's great. You want to know what the problem with that is? Phillip Rivers probably is not going into the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, that's a great story that you knew 20 years ago in that first round that you knew that Phillip Rivers was going to the Hall of Fame. And yet, it would not surprise me if Phillip Rivers does not end up in the Hall of Fame, does not end up with a gold jacket. One texter says, yeah, we passed on Mahomes, but at least we got Corey Davis. We, the Titans, would have killed Mahomes' career, though. Historically, this team is a quarterback killer. So that's not something that I believe in. A lot of people used to do this when it came to John Robinson and the draft choices, and there was kind of this sentiment of, well, we suck at drafting anyway, so why does it matter if we have the picks and who we draft? And what? And it's like, well, if you don't think the guy you draft, you can fire him. And then when it came to picking a quarterback last year, a lot of you guys were like, well, what gives you any faith that this coaching staff can develop a quarterback? I'm like, if you don't think the coaching staff can develop a quarterback, then you fire the coaching staff. Which, by the way, they did, and I was in favor of. So it's like, if you think, well, I mean, this team's just going to ruin the quarterback anyways because this team ruins the quarterback, it's like, well, then why do we even try? Why do we even think that, you know, like, why are we even Titan fans if that's the case? If this team is never going to be good, why? And you know that that's just bullcrap. So, I mean, again, the way to get better, any franchise can do this. In my lifetime of watching football, which is 1998 and on, the worst team of that tenure was probably the Cincinnati Bengals. From 1998 until, I guess maybe Cleveland, but Cincinnati, Detroit, you know, 1998 to 2019, the Bengals were probably the worst. Should they have just given up? Should Detroit have just given up after all those years of misery post-Barry Sanders? So stop with the, we're going to ruin quarterbacks anyways. Now, you might have ruined Mahomes because quarterback development's a big part of this. But at the same time, like, Drake May is a bona fide 1-1 level prospect. And I just don't think a lot of you understand that. More of your phone, 615-737-1025 here on our program. Twice Daily. I love talking about Twice Daily. I love the Twice Daily app. I love going to Twice Daily, and I love telling you about Twice Daily. Twice Daily has all of your cravings, and you can save on every visit. Stop in and get rewarded. All you need to do is join the Twice Daily Rewards program to unlock special discount savings, and you can enter their sweepstakes and so much more. Try their new wraps, the Italian, the ham and cheddar, the turkey and Swiss, the Nashville hot chicken. They're all made to order with your favorite toppings, and when you download the Twice Daily app, you can order ahead. Or at Twice Daily, it's snack time all the time, like your favorites. Chicken fingers, tater rounds, pretzels, boneless wings. I mean, it's just, honestly, they got everything at Twice Daily. Twice Daily! What are you craving?
I think you advocate and fight for guys when you have a really strong opinion, or there's a large difference maybe in the positions and where you feel like, you know, as an offensive coach or a defensive coach, you feel strongly that you might need. But it usually doesn't work that way where you're fighting for much, because you prepare, you go through all the different scenarios. You know, you work through every, you know, there might be 50 different scenarios that happen in front of us at pick 7. And so you have to work through all of those things, all the contingencies. What happens if this player is there? What happens if that player is there? Would we be comfortable with this player over that player? And you go through all of these exercises at your picks, and particularly as the first and second round for sure, because that's a process you have to work through, so you're not surprised on draft day. So by the time we get to the draft, all these conversations have been had. People have said their piece. We've had the conversations about who we prefer. And ultimately, when we make the decision, it'll be the Titans' decision, and that's everyone's going to move forward with that. So this is the time for all of those things, when people are coaches are advocating for guys they like, scouts are advocating for the players they like. You have conversations if there's huge discrepancies in the grades, and you figure out where that difference is, and you come to consensus on whatever player you're discussing. And so the process has been fun, but it's an enjoyable process. There's a lot of conversation. This is when all the advocating happens. And then by the time we get to the draft, we've cemented our plan for the most part on what directions we'll head based on what events happen in front of us.
There you go, Brian Callahan. This is the time where you hash these things out. Again, if Drake May is available at 7, which happens if Charles Robinson's reporting is correct and New England has J.J. McCarthy atop their board and Drake May slides, you take him. You take him with the 7th pick if he's there, because he's a better prospect than Levis. And because Levis had a nice, you know, Levis had an okay rookie season. That's it. The jury's out. May is an A-plus quarterback prospect. Back to your phones, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brad has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling and waiting. What's up, Brad?
Jared, good afternoon. As an elite-level prospect with a 63.3% completion percentage of senior year, and 24 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. How much more elite are those numbers than, say, the numbers that Levis put up his junior year when he had actual competent talent around him, like Drake May's had all of his years?
Well, because Levis was 22. Hey, Brad, the year you're referencing, Levis was 22 and May was 20.
Okay. So 2 years, you think he would get that much better than Levis is now?
Elite is a
strong word for Drake May, who starts out great every year, and he's, you know, he is a pretty pony to look at. But his record in college with NFL level talent, you got to remember, he had Josh Downs as a receiver. He's got Tez Walker he had last year. He's got NFL linemen around him. He's got NFL capable defensive players.
Who are the NFL linemen on his team right now?
And Mac Brown. And he is.
Who are the NFL linemen on his team right now?
Well, I mean, I can't go down the list and name every one of them, but I know.
I mean, we've been focused on offensive line months.
Okay, well, talk to me then about all the NFL offensive linemen that played in front of Levis when he was at Kentucky. What I'm trying to say, Jared, is they're basically the Spider-Man meme. If you put both those guys in a quarterback room, you're going to have two guys that are exactly the same thing, pointing at each other. There's just one guy that went to Carolina and was a little bit more popular and was well known by society, like by the upper echelon people in football, than the other. I just don't see it. I mean, his pedigree is not, to me, it's just not elite, and it's not any better. I mean, he didn't win at a place where he was always set up to win.
So I don't, again, you're just throwing out things like he has all these NFL linemen. Thank you, Brad. He has all these NFL linemen, and I don't know any of these NFL linemen you're talking about. And again, we've been studying the offensive linemen in the draft the last 2 years, and I can't think of one guy on the offensive line North Carolina over the last 2 years. Ian, can you think of one guy on the offensive line from North Carolina over the last 2 years?
I don't think I've seen a single North Carolina football game in years.
I mean, I've watched Drake May play against NC State, and I think Drake May's got a lot of talent. So I'm glad you brought this up, because I think there is a big difference between the two. In Drake May's last 2 years in college, he threw for 62 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. Levis was 43 and 23. So we're talking about 19 more touchdowns and, what is that, six less interceptions? You know, that is a massive difference. May is also 21 years old. Levis took his first snap at UK at 22. There is a big difference between that. There's not a huge difference between 35 and 33, but there is a massive difference between 20 years old and 22. A huge difference. And you all know that because you remember what your life was like when you were 20 and when you compare it to when you're 22. But I also go back to this, you know, what's Drake May done? So this is from the Dane Brugler's The Beast Guide at The Athletic, the one that Joe says he's not allowed to talk about on the air, but we're allowed to talk about on the air. So this was his summary on Drake May in The Beast Guide, and I also have the summary for Levis. It says, a two-year starter at North Carolina, May thrived in Phil Longo's air raid offense and Chip Lindsey's more balanced attack in 2023. Despite only 2 years as the Tar Heel starter, they were the two most productive seasons by a quarterback in North Carolina history. May's 5,000 yards of total offense set a school record, and his 4,000 yards of total offense was the second most. He was the only FBS quarterback to accumulate over 9,000 yards of total offense over the last two seasons. With his arm strength and pacing, May put the full inventory of throws on tape and operates with a timing from the pocket to attack defense's leverage. He is a quick reaction athlete to make plays off schedules as a scrambler and can rip throws from different platforms. His arm can get juiced up at times, disrupting his ball placement, and his progression reads are still a work in progress, especially when he feels pressed to make a play. Now, that is a Levis problem. Overall, May needs to cut down on the reckless decisions, but he is a well-put-together passer on the field with command, athletic instincts, and arm talent to create solutions for problems that NFL defenses present. With his physical gifts and smarts, he is cut from the same cloth as Justin Herbert and has a similar ceiling as an NFL player. Round one. Great. I think that's solid. When it comes to Levis, his summary was, a two-year starter at Kentucky, Levis had a promising 2021 season under Liam Cohen. However, he struggled with consistency in 2022 as the offense saw a complete makeover with Wandell Robinson and multiple offensive linemen departing for the NFL and new play caller Rich Scangarello taking over for Liam Cohen, who left to become the LA Rams offensive coordinator. Physically built for the pro game, Levis is strong in the pocket and moves well for his size and has a power arm. However, defenses are too easily able to put doubt in his mind, which leads to forced or inaccurate throws because of the hesitancy in his game. Overall, Levis needs more reps to continue developing his read efficiency and ball placement, but has an NFL starter skill set. Similarities with Carson Wentz should be considered both a positive and a negative, but he still has starter-level traits and upside. So Dane Brugler, when evaluating, says that guy's Justin Herbert, that guy's Carson Wentz, both positives and negatives. To the caller's point, I don't think you'll ever see, ever, I don't think you'll ever see anybody say Justin Herbert and Carson Wentz looking at each other in the same quarterback room see the same person. I just don't think you'll see that. And again, it's not to say that Levis can't overcome some of the issues that are in his game. To me, I think the issues that I think I see with Levis are when the game starts to get out of reach, Levis feels the anxiety to make the play right there to get him back. And sometimes I think he just needs to calm down. 7 minutes left in a game. There's still some possessions. You know, gotta be a little bit more efficient here, but you don't have to get it all back in one throw. And I think Levis gets hurt too much. And, I mean, those are legitimate issues. So, I mean, as far as that's concerned, I think that you guys are just, again, Nobody, like these football people, are not saying this. The football people that don't live here, that don't sit there and just, you know, smell the tush of Will Levis like my puppy, you know, tries to smell other dogs. Like, these people are like, yeah, Levis is fine. He's a good prospect. He's a solid. Drake May, again, Rick Spielman, tier one. That's what we're talking about. 615-737-1025. That's our phone number. Speaking of those tiers, I do kind of want to go over some of these tiers that Rick Spielman had, because it did kind of fascinate me, and it's a little different than maybe I view the draft, and he watches a lot more of the tape and the pro days and everything else than I do, so we'll do that next. Here on our program, Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Let's start with the Tennessee Men's Clinic. Fellas, you've put this off for way too long. It is time to get it done and move forward with your sex life, and the Tennessee Men's Clinic is the leader in bedroom confidence. The reality is pills often quit working and guys start making excuses for not coming to bed. Did you know that studies show that men will be more irritable and argumentative before bed just to avoid failing at intimacy? And yes, I know, many of you hate going to the doctor, but the Tennessee Men's Clinic was created in 2014 to take care of guys just like you. For a decade, the urologists and providers at the Tennessee Men's Clinic have helped guys with ED and weight loss, and they are now even offering aesthetic enhancements and cosmetic procedures. Their ED weight loss treatments truly change lives with no surgery, and they are seeing success rates as high as 90%. They specialize in seeing guys who think they're out of luck regain hope that they can be successful in the bedroom and beyond, and they even offer same-day or next-day appointments. It's time to feel amazing and hit your goals this year, so stop thinking about it and call the Tennessee Men's Clinic today. 615-208-9090. That's 615-208-9090, or go online to TennesseeMen'sClinic.com to book an appointment today. That's TennesseeMen'sClinic.com.
If Drake May's stock does slip and he falls to 7 to the Tennessee Titans, should the Titans take him?
100%. 100%. I'm telling you what, if his stock is slipping at the combine, I'd like to know what for. Size, athleticism, arm strength, and then the interview process. You guys, you know, I've had, you know, I called his first start, and I've called his, I guess it would have been his last game against NC State this past season because he didn't play in the bowl game. Like, I had him a number of times, had him in production meetings a number of times. He's going to be super impressive in the interview process. Like, so to me, when I hear, like, hey, his stock is dropping, that feels like it has to be smokescreen to me. It has to be. Because I've sat there and I've experienced what the interview process would seem like with him. And I don't think that there are going to be teams that walk away from interacting with him and think that guy can't be a franchise quarterback. I don't think that, that would be the most unlikely scenario that I could imagine.
I guess Tim Hasselbeck's an idiot too, Twitter. You know, I say, hey, I would take Drake May if he falls to 7. Stillman's an idiot. Really? Because Tim Hasselbeck said the same thing, and Tim Hasselbeck has played in the NFL, and Tim Hasselbeck is a QB analyst for ESPN, and Tim Hasselbeck is a coach, and Tim Hasselbeck comes on our station every week, and he watches the Titans, and he breaks the games down, and Tim Hasselbeck calls Drake May's games and knows Drake May, but I guess he's an idiot too. Just like I'm an idiot, just like everybody that doesn't think that Will Levis is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. Now, apparently, from the same people that used to bitch about how bad he sucked this time a year ago, apparently we're all stupid. So Rick Spielman released his tiers yesterday, the former Vikings general manager, again, the guy who, with his last first-round pick, drafted Christian Darrisaw in the first round, the same guy who, in his second-to-last first-round pick, drafted Justin Jefferson in the first round, and he released his tiers on his CBS with the First Pick podcast. Tier one, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels. So that's the first. Drake May's in that first group. And then, of course, we talked about, remember, Nabers and Alt, and who do you take here? He's saying that Nabers is a different level prospect than Alt. Tier two, Spielman has Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, Dallas Turner, Olu Fashanu. But he did specify that he thinks that Alt is a much better prospect than Fashanu. Thinks Alt has Pro Bowl potential, Fashanu has starter on a decent team potential. Tier three, Jared Verse, Byron Murphy, Terrion Arnold, J.C. Latham, and Quinyon Mitchell, and Tier 4, Thalese Fuaga, Brian Thomas Jr., Troy Fautanu, J.J. McCarthy, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. And I find that fascinating. First of all, yesterday with all the talk about how crazy it would be to go with Brock Bowers over Joe Alt, and he on his board has Bowers ahead of Alt. Now, again, they're in the same tier. And to me, if we're picking left tackle versus tight end, that's a different story. But he's got May in a different tier than Alt. Again, you don't get better by letting other teams pick good players. But I guess he's stupid too. Dominic is stupid, remember, because of what he said about Brock Bowers. I'm stupid because of what I said about, yeah, if the guy who most people think is the second best player in this class ends up at 7, take him. I guess I'm stupid too. But the people that draft guards in the first round, those are the geniuses. Got it. One texter says, these are typical Titan fans. The same fans that think all the problems are solved because they got what they did in free agency. These are the same people that were so excited with young Mariota and Locker. It's why the non-Titan fans who live in Nashville want to rip their hair out. Well, let me just say this. I am a Titan fan. I want Will Levis to be the guy. See, I think Drake May is going to go with the second pick. I think Drake May is going to be the second quarterback off the board, and Washington will take him. And we came into the year thinking this was the Caleb Williams-Drake May draft, and I think this is going to end up being the Caleb Williams-Drake May draft. But I'm just saying, you know, what happens if you this, if you that, as far as we're concerned with this guy or that guy and what choices you make given the crazy scenarios that may happen in the draft. I want Levis to be the guy. And I think there is a chance that Levis can be that guy. I think it's more likely than not that Levis will not be that guy. But just, again, that's the overall numbers of quarterback development. But I think Levis is smart enough to be able to do it, I think. I think Levis has the talent. I think they've got him a good coach. He's got some receivers, so maybe there's a chance this works out. But I'm not passing up on an A-plus quarterback prospect because of maybe there's a chance this works out. And somebody tweeted me, and they said, well, Jared, that's fine. It's just, you know, if Levis isn't the guy, then take a quarterback next year. I don't even know who the quarterbacks coming out next year are. Ian, who's the top quarterback on the board next year?
Good question.
I believe the top quarterback on the board right now is Quinn Ewers out of Texas, and Shedeur Sanders out of Colorado is the second quarterback. If Shedeur Sanders becomes the quarterback of the Titans, this place is going to be a freaking zoo. But, again, different discussion for a different day.
The Penn State kid, I guess, is up there too.
I think he kind of sucks.
Aller?
I think he sucks. Really?
Yeah.
So, anywho, again, I don't think any of those guys would be viewed as higher prospects than they. I think that's why Ewers went back to school, honestly. Because it's like, well,
back
I
at
come
Georgia.
Out in this class, yeah, I don't love that guy either.
And then Riley Leonard, Notre Dame, Milroe.
Riley Leonard, so the Duke kid that got hurt and,
yep,
you know, was supposed to be a first-round pick, and then he wasn't. And Jalen Milroe is not an NFL quarterback. I'm sorry.
So, not great.
I am sorry. One texter goes, Carolina QB history, name another Carolina quarterback, can't do it. Sam Howell, Mitch Trubisky. Again, those guys were viewed as, you know, Trubisky was a high pick. Howell was a guy that people thought was going to be a good NFL. I mean, those guys have been starting NFL quarterbacks before. You can't say I can't name them, and I pulled two in the last decade out of my tush like that. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, what are we doing here? Oof. Unbelievable. Some of these texts, these people are. Sam says that the 2025 mock drafts have the Titans picking first and taking Shedeur Sanders. So, by the way, and I like Levis. I think there's a chance. I don't love him, and I'm not assuming that he can do things that I haven't seen him do. Now, I use that Texans game, the one where they lost to the JV team. I use that as an example of kind of the line of demarcation as to whether or not Will Levis is going to make it. And there was a play, I want to say, early in the second half where Levis rolled to the left and Treylon Burks was running wide open down the left side of the field, but Levis had already decided that he was going to throw the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins was double covered. There were two guys, one on Burks, one on Hopkins. They both went to Hopkins. Burks is running wide open down the field, and he threw an interception on the ball to Hopkins. You remember that one, Ian?
I think so, yeah.
So what should happen here is the next time something like this happens, the game, you would hope, I hope, the game slows down for Levis so that instead of, you know, that panic and I'm going to throw it anyways, he's learned from the mistake of, hey, calm down, slow down. Oh, use your eyes. Oh, there's the guy wide open. Throw to him. But I don't know if Levis is going to be able to do that or not. That's the question here. That's the line of demarcation. If Levis can learn from his mistakes and not throw pick sixes to dropping defensive tackles, and then when they're in the end zone, ram them with his shoulder, then you got something. If Levis is going to decide that he's going to try to helicopter every play, he's going to play four games a season, and he's going to get hurt. And then that does you no good. One texter says, Jerry, we've all heard you complaining about not having a left tackle, Joe Alt, all the time. Now you're jumping on the Drake May bandwagon. That is pathetic. Well, I mean, the fact that Drake May is a really good prospect doesn't change the fact that the Titans don't have a tackle. But again, I've been operating under the assumption this entire draft process time, I've been operating under the assumption that Drake May will not be available with the 7th overall pick. Today, we've been discussing the scenario if Drake May is available. And those are two different things. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get back into your phones on this, 615-737-1025. But I do have a Predators thought I want to get in. Because I think the Predators and Predator fans are about to get porked by the NHL. I think we'll do that next. Stillman and Company right here, 1025-1063 the game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there, this week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card is only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville.
As a player, I, you know what I said? It is what it is, and this is what we're dealing with. And keep moving.
Would you, though, be, you know, again, you're not on this team, so you're not speaking for the team, but just would it be hard mentally or physically for you to go 8 days between playing competitive hockey games?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I think you have to stay sharp. You have to stay on top of your game, and you take 8 days off. And, yeah, you can rest up. And, you know, if you're banged up, you're like, yes, give me those 8 days. I'll gladly take those. And there's a lot of guys that are banged up, so they're going to look at it that way. But there's also, you know, hey, I'm playing at my prime right now. I'm feeling as good as I have, and I want to keep playing, and we want to keep going, and we want to stay sharp. The real challenge comes for Bruno. He's got to come up with a practice plan. The coaches need to formulate practices that are going to mimic game speed. At the same time, they don't want to hurt people and wear them down with a full week of practice. And mentally, that can be exhausting, just showing up at the rink.
Yeah, that was Hal on our show yesterday. Hal being like, well, you know, yeah, the season ends on Monday for the Predators, not a Thursday for everybody, but it is what it is. Okay, Hal, would it mess you up? Oh, yeah, it messed me up. So Adam Vingan sent this to me today from The Provence, the paper in Vancouver, about the potential scheduling between the Predators and the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs. It is, Ian, would you say 99.9% Predators-Vancouver?
I don't know about 99.9, but I think around 90.
Okay. So it's going to be Vancouver unless Dallas wins their, or Vancouver loses their game and Dallas wins two games or some fakakta thing like that. I don't know. So anywho, this is from La Provence. A Vancouver-Nashville series is expected to have an ugly schedule, certainly in the later stages, but possibly also in the opening. As first reported by Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman and confirmed by a league source to Post Media, who owns La Provence, on Monday evening, there is a good chance the Canucks versus Predators series might not start until April 23rd. So that would be 1 week from today. So the Predators would have 8 days off. A surprising twist, given the scheduling challenges created by Rogers Arena's limited availability in the first week of May. And also that the Predators are off, having finished their regular season schedule on Monday night. An April 23rd start means they would have been off for a full week, as the Canucks' final regular season game is on Thursday in Winnipeg. Starting on April 23rd would be curious, because Rogers Arena has no bookings between April 20th, when the Stanley Cup playoffs begin, and April 29th, when Justin Timberlake is performing. And there is only one booking at Nashville's Bridgestone Arena next week, April 25th, for Tim McGraw. An April 20th start would have been very unfair to the Canucks, writes the paper, who closed the season on April 18th and deserved to get some rest after a strong season. That's why many speculated an April 21st start is ideal, with a game 2 days later. And it is understood that April 21st or 22nd could be a possibility for game one. If the series were to start on April 21st or 22nd, the teams would likely travel to Nashville on the 25th before resuming play in Nashville April 26th. But a 23rd start would mean that game two would either be the next night or Thursday, draft night at the latest. That would mean, the Provence writes, that games 3 and 4 would be back-to-back April 27th and 28th in Nashville. If game 5 were necessary, they'd play at Rogers on April 30th, and no matter whether the series starts as late as April 23rd or as early as April 21st, the back end of a 7-game series is guaranteed to be ugly. Apparently, Pearl Jam is going to be at Rogers Arena, so Game 6 would be back in Nashville, no bookings at Bridgestone Arena between April 29th and May 4th, but a potential Game 7 in Vancouver would have to happen on May 3rd because Pearl Jam is booked to open their world tour at Rogers Arena on May 4th. In other words, Game 6 would be on a back-to-back, either behind Game 5 or more likely on Game 2 in front of Game 7.
You can't play playoff games back-to-back.
So I talked to somebody today, like somebody who would know, because I said, I go, that is preposterous.
Has that ever happened?
Well, I just think it's preposterous to play game 6 on a back-to-back, especially Nashville and Vancouver. Like, I don't even, how do you get your local media to the game for something like that?
Yeah, that'd be the turnaround on that. It's ridiculous.
It would be preposterous to play a game at Bridgestone Arena for game 6, and then the next day, like after the game's over at 11 o'clock at night, because again, you're in the Western Conference, so all these games are going to start at 8:30, then you're going to fly at 11 o'clock. No. The game's over at 11. You're going to get everybody on the plane. You're going to take off at like 1. It's a 5-hour flight. You're going to get in there at 6 a.m., and you're going to play the next night? How does that is preposterous. And the idea, well, you know, Vancouver's season ends on the 18th, and it would be unfair for them to have to play on the 20th or 21st. Well, I think it's unfair that the Predators have to wait an entire week and a half in order to play game one. But guess what I think is going to happen? Even though somebody told me, they were like, look, man, there's not going to be a back-to-back for game 7. Like, there's not going to be a back-to-back. Here's what I think is going to happen. If the NHL has two choices, like a fork in the road, choice one is screw Vancouver or screw the Predators, they're going to screw the Predators. I'm just telling you that right now. That is the choice that's going to be made. Why? Because we ain't a Canadian hockey market. That's why. So when Barry comes on the show, I'm going to ask Barry about, you know, are you already talking to the league about this? Because if I'm Barry Trotz, I don't want, two things I don't want to do. I don't want to play on Tuesday to open the series. My guys don't need 8 days off. If I can play on Sunday, that would give us, what, 6 days off, 7 days, 6 days off, which I still don't like, but that's much easier to manage. The compromise might be Monday. The other thing is, I don't think that it would be a good idea for them to play the night of the NFL draft. And I think there are just certain cities where the NHL should not play playoff games. You got Montreal playing somebody, play. Whatever, who cares, Montreal, about the NFL draft. But I don't. There are certain cities where I don't think you can play a hockey game the night of the NFL draft. You can probably play it, you know, at that late, late slot, you know, after all that's done or something. But I'm just telling you, like, my focus will not be on game one of the playoffs or game two of the playoffs if it's the night of the NFL draft. It just won't be. That's why, like, I kind of hope it's Dallas for another reason, because then, you know, we get the NFL draft. They will not play a hockey game when Dallas and Nashville are playing the night of the NFL draft. But I just think that the idea, first of all, the idea of back-to-backs at the end of the series in elimination games is preposterous.
Back-to-back in the playoffs in general is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous in general, but if it has to happen because you're building book too many dates, that's one thing.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's like, you know,
for
New
an elimination
Jersey,
game?
Or New Jersey versus the Islanders, you know, super close, Washington, Pittsburgh, you don't have to really travel. Sure,
plus,
maybe I could buy it.
Some of these, and again, you know, David Kell's over at Bridgestone, he's a wizard at how they do all this stuff, but in theory, what they could do is, like, they could play, if it's a weekend, they could play the game at 1 o'clock or something like that, and then turn it over for the concert or whatever it may be. But I just, again, I'm just telling you, my gut tells me that if the NHL has the choice of screwing the Predators or screwing the Canucks, they're going to pick screwing the Predators. And they'll make some kind of bullcrap reason up. Maybe it's, well, they're the number one seed and they deserve it. They won their division. But I think in reality it's just because that's Canadian market and they're going to protect the Canadian markets at all costs. Because that's where they're going to make a boatload of money. Not that they don't make money here. I mean, they make a lot of money here. But that's the gut I get. And the reason why is because I think it is ridiculous. If their last game is the 18th, they can play the 21st. They can play the 21st. Well, it would be unfair to the Canucks for them to, they can play. You play the 18th, you're off the 19th, you're off the 20th, you can play the 21st. But instead, Elliott says they're going to play the 23rd. And Elliott's not hearing that from nobody. I mean, Elliott's hearing that from somebody whose opinion matters. So I think the Predators are going to get screwed. I think it is coming. One texter says, you're a professional hockey team. You do whatever you have to do. I'm like, you're not going to play back-to-backs in a Game 7 in the playoffs with a Nashville to Vancouver flight. You wouldn't do it in baseball. You wouldn't do it in basketball. You wouldn't do it in football. You're not going to do it in hockey. And again, the other thing, too, you're trying to grow your sport. There is no way that you can fly the Canadian media and Alex Doherty from Nashville to Vancouver commercially. These guys don't fly with the team. There's no way you could do that commercially and have people there to cover the game. And they're not going to do that where people aren't there to cover the game. But that's what La Provence says. By the way, Vingan says that it's not a Canadian paper, or it's not a French paper. You know, that's Montreal that does that. Whatever.
Yeah, they don't really do French-Canadian in Vancouver.
Vancouver is a freaking nice city. I went once, like 10 years ago. It is a freaking beautiful city. I would love to go to Vancouver to watch Predators play. It's just, you know, getting there is just a pain in the ass. All right, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to weigh in, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we've always talked about this Chase Sewell debate, right? And that the Titans might have a similar Neighbors, Alt, Harrison, Alt, Bowers, Alt. You know, they may have a similar debate on their hands. But was Brian Callahan's opinion the right opinion? We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.